Thank you, worship team, for ministering to us this morning. And I know that I print off the worship sheet, and I pray for you guys through the week, because I know that your ministry is as valuable this morning as my ministry. And so thank you for your input. And thank you for all the people that have had a part to play in the ministry this morning. Those that will be leading junior church, those will be leading children's church, and those that taught Connect this morning as well. We're thankful for each one's part that they play in this ministry. I want to continue this morning with looking in at the church and an aspect of the church. And when we're talking about the church, we're talking about a big subject. And that's probably a subject that you can probably talk on for a very long time. So I want to talk this morning about, with the title, The Church Composed by God. And indeed, this church, every church, is composed by God, and we're going to see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. One of the images of the church that is presented to us is the image of that of a body. And this is just one of the many images that is presented for us in the Word of God, so that we might gain an understanding of what this that we identify as a church really looks like. Because often when we seek to compare, we use the word comparison, or the idea of comparison, to be able to develop our learning, our knowledge about an object. And so often when we seek to try and describe it, it's a mystery to us. And so what we seek to use comparisons. And when it comes to the image of a body, it's just something that they would all be able to identify with. We've been talking about the church over the past two Sundays and come to realize that it's made up of a group of individuals who have been called out by God and placed into his kingdom through the work of the Spirit of God. And so it's a work that the Spirit has done in creating this, what we call the church. And what we're going to talk about this morning, the church. It is a unique creation of God, that Christ is the head, and each of us who have come in faith and repentance are members of the church of God. And so you sitting here this morning, if you identify yourself as a child of God, as a blood-bought person that Christ has bought, you are a member of the church, and you are a member of what we want to talk about here this morning. For many of us, we identify the church as a building located on different streets in most of our towns and cities. And so if you were to look at Osler, you'd say, well, how many churches are in the town of Osler? And we would say, I believe there's three different churches here. And so that's how we identify and look at the church. For others, we identify the church as something that we do on Sunday mornings. If someone asks us what we did on Sunday morning, we say that we did church. And so if all of a sudden, tomorrow morning, your coworkers are asking, what did you do yesterday? Well, I did church, is how we often identify what we've done. And thus the confusion in their minds. What in the world is church? And maybe we, this morning, have some of those same questions that we are seeking to find answers to. We have questions about what the church is, but also questions about what the functions of the church are. Thus, the images of the church that are presented to us throughout the Word of God. We have the image of the shepherd and the sheep presented to us in John chapter 10. We have the image of the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. We have the image of the building with Christ being the foundation and the chief cornerstone, Ephesians chapter 2. These are some of the images that are presented in the Bible, and we can probably mention many others. And in our Adult Connect class, we've been walking through some of those images of the church. Another one of the images that Paul uses in the New Testament is the image of the body. It is an image that would be familiar to every one of his readers. And so if you're trying to find something to compare something to, find something that is familiar. And every one of his readers would be able to point and know something about the image of the body and the structure and how the body works. Because when the body isn't working correctly, we soon understand that the intricacies of how it works together. Paul makes comparisons and parallels of the church to that of the human body. And so one of the references that Paul uses we find in Romans chapter 12. And I want to just read verses 4 through verse 6. So if you have your Bibles this morning and you've got Romans in front of you, chapter 12, and let's begin reading at verse 4. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. And so continues on mentioning some of the gifts there in front of us. Paul is directly speaking about the gifts that have been given to the members of the body. But he is also beginning to show us how the church is supposed to function by paralleling out to how our bodies work. And so this morning, as you reflect on your body, maybe you can see some of the parallels that we have for us. If the gifts are going to be used and demonstrated effectively, there must be a proper functioning of the body. He begins by giving us the image of the body having many members, but not all having the same function. And so as you look at your body and you can identify different parts of your body and how the different parts interplay with one another. And for some of us who have had some parts act up, we all of a sudden realize the importance of that part. Each of the parts has a different function, but they are united and connected with a common purpose to allow the body to flow smoothly as a complete unit. We soon realize the value of each part when it decides to act up. We appreciate the toes when all of a sudden we're seeking to walk in the dark and our toes meet an immovable object. And then you realize the importance and of the parts of the body. We have diversity working in unity and in harmony. The body of Christ reflects diversity as well in that it has many members with diverse gifts. And verse 6 shares, we differ according to the measure of grace we were given. The gifts that God has given to us are reflective of the grace gift to us. The gifts differ in many of them. Some of them are serving gifts. Some of them are leading gifts given out according to the sovereign will of God. And so as he looks at the body and as God seeks to bring the body together, which we call the church, he gifts certain individuals with different gifts in measures of grace, which he determines what they are. And so according to his grace, some of us have been equipped maybe with one gift. Maybe according to his grace, some of us have been equipped with two gifts or maybe even more than that, gifts. But that's according to the sovereign will of God. Each of these gifts presents diversity but also opportunity for unity in the realization that this gift is not based on our merit, but solely comes from our Heavenly Father in the measure that he has chosen from the unlimited wealth of his grace. His grace is unlimited. It is without measure. But he has decided in his sovereign will to measure out grace to each one of us. And this morning, as children of God, you have been gifted with a measure of grace. To operate with this gift is with the realization that it comes with his enablement and to use it purposely for the functioning of the body, his church. Our tendency may be to grumble over the gifts that is given to us, until we realize that this measure of grace has been purposefully given to us as individuals for the proper functioning of the body from the hands of a loving, benevolent Father. Often we reflect, maybe, wow, God, if I could have only given me this gift, I sure could do far more. And isn't that how we reflect in life? If I had more, then I could maybe do more. And God is saying, I gave you a measure, specifically in measure to what I desire for your part to play in this ministry. We are undeserving of any gift, but our Father knows how to give good gifts. Our Father knows how the body should function and has made sure that it has all the necessary parts for it to function. And so as we look around us this morning, we look at this, the local church, Ozer Mission Chapel, we can say, thank you, God, for supplying this person and that person, because you uniquely equipped us with all that we need to do the ministry that God has called us to do. We can take joy in that fact, that God knows what this ministry needs, and he has uniquely equipped us with those measures of grace. When we parallel it to the human body, we are thankful for each member, even if he or she does not play as prominent of a role. Sometimes it takes a non-prominent member acting up for us to notice and appreciate it. When it comes to the body, some of you have already experienced maybe some gallbladder issues, and you know how that gallbladder seemingly, as it comes forward, lets you know that it's an important part in your body and the parts to play. Maybe some of you have had some other issues with maybe knees or joints or things like that, and the importance and the measure that part seemingly plays in the overall body structure. Our identity as a body is forged in Christ. In Christ, you come into relationship with each other. Everything in Christ that can be shared with me is shared with me. That is our position in the body. We are positionally in Christ. And that is a fact of our identity. He says the grace of God has been given to us. Redemption. We've been justified. We are forgiven. There's no condemnation. We're new creatures. Eternal life. Supply all your needs. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are complete in Christ. And we can go throughout the Word of God and we can see over and over again all that we have because we, as part of his body, are in Christ. And all these things have been supplied to us because we are in Christ. Our unity is in Christ. And there we inherit everything together. And all that we need to accomplish what he has called us to do. I am a member of the body. But here he says, I am a member of you, and you are a member of me. For we are individual members of one another. You cannot know who you are except in connection to others in the body of Christ. It's almost like marriage terminology he's using here in the relationship that we play with one another. The importance that you play in my life. The importance that I play in your life. And Paul here wants that message to be brought across to each of us. The importance of each of us that God has gifted to us, but the importance that you play in the greater whole. Because we are individual members of one another. You find who you are in connection with others in community. Your measure of grace is needed in the lives of the other members of the body. If we decide to just park ourselves and not minister in the grace God has given to us, the ministry of the whole, the body, is hindered. If you have decided here this morning that I'm content to just sit here and do be a bench warmer, then the ministry is affected because of your lack of involvement. It is hindered. Yes, the ministry continues to go up forward, but can the ministry be far more because you have found your place that God has equipped you for? There are lonely people, needy people who need the grace gift that God has given to you. It is not the sole responsibility of the pastors of the church to do all the ministry, for we are fellow members of the body with you who have just been given a more public gift, and we need your gift in our lives. And so I admit this morning, I am in need of your gift in my life. As God allows me to minister my gift to all of your gifts need to minister to me as well and to each of us pastors. God has blessed us with the opportunity to be able to minister in this public way, but we need your involvement as well. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly to the measure of the grace that God has given to you. Your question may be, you do not know what the gift of grace is in your life. And I would encourage you to get involved in a ministry that interests you and find out what your gifts are. If you need some ideas, speak to with us and we will give you some ideas and opportunities. If you are sitting here this morning and say, wow, where do I get involved? What are my gifts? Would you speak to one of us in the leadership? We encourage you into some different roles where you can find your gift, what you are as you work it out. You say, wow, children's ministry definitely isn't my area of expertise. Great, you found out that's something that you're maybe not gifted at. And so try something else. Maybe try being an usher and find out that maybe your gifting is there. Or maybe in youth, or maybe in Connect. We can always use more Connect teachers as well. We can find out how we can utilize the gift that God has given to us. You are here not by accident, but by divine appointment with a resource of grace that is needed. By getting involved, you can grow in your gift and find ways to utilize it to its greatest potential. So as we begin to utilize the gift that God has given to us, we grow in the strength of that gift as well as we begin to use it. We grow in strength and opportunity that God allows us to have. Let's continue on to another passage that Paul mentions here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read some verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting at verse 12, and let's read down to verse 27. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I have not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Paul continues his message about the body. And we've all entered into one body, the church, by way of baptism with the Spirit of God. And so your entrance into the church was a work of the Spirit of God in your life. And this is the only Spirit baptism that's mentioned in the Word of God. All believers are placed into the sphere of the Spirit's power and person, into a new environment, a new atmosphere, a new relationship with others, and a new union with Jesus Christ. This body is inclusive of all believers who are indwelt by the Spirit of God. There is no distinction in this body between Jews or Greeks or between slaves or free. And these are the two distinctions that the Corinthian church was dealing with. And we can add our own distinctions to make it applicable to our own situation. When it comes to the body of God, the church, we are all inclusive, those who have the indwelling presence of the Spirit living within them. We know from Ephesians 3 and verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And so we as Gentiles this morning, mostly here, we are part of the body. We are included in the body. The Corinthian church was experiencing a great trial of division and disunity. Their disunity led to quarrels with one another. No longer was it hidden, but it came out into the open by trying to one up each other and assume a more exalted position. They sought to come to a higher position in the church. The matter of God's and gifting was another area of dispute. They were not pleased with the gift that God had given to them. And maybe you here this morning are looking and you know your gift and say, well, I sure could do far more if I had this gift. And maybe that is your position here this morning. Paul will use the picture of the human body to describe the unity of the body of Christ, which has many members. Each of us has been uniquely gifted with the capacity to contribute to the work of God. We were never intended to live in isolation, but to work together to become a great force for God and the advance of his cause. And so God has uniquely equipped you with a measure of grace that you might be able to utilize that measure within the body, within the church. And thus, he never intended for us to work as lone wolves, but to be part of this body. Paul presents a hypothetical situation of the foot wishing he were a hand and the ear wishing it was an eye. They thought the hand and the eye to be more glamorous positions until it came to the body wanting to walk someplace or to hear something. Thus, we see the importance of every part of the body of Christ and the part that they play in the whole. Our tendency is to often to look and envy the gifts of others. That person is a good communicator, or that person is a great leader. And so thus, because of so much that we have today is online, and many of us are watching online, we can say, wow, that is a powerful speaker. That is a powerful person in this area. And we look around with envy. Wow, if I could only have what that person has, I could do far more. And often when envy cannot have its own way, it takes its marbles and it goes home and will not play with the others. And maybe you've taken your marbles and you've gone home because you're not happy with the gift that God has given to you. We have no right to remove ourselves from our God-given responsibilities just because we are dissatisfied with what he has given to us. Verse 18 shares that God himself was the one that placed us in the body as he desired. You have been placed specifically by God himself and how God desired you to be placed. The body is God's sovereign design, and as a master architect, he places each of us exactly where he wants us to be and equipped us to do exactly what he wants us to do. We have not received our gifts by accident or whim, but according to the will of God. And God is about and was about your work at salvation with uniquely equipping you with a gift that we together need. The church works best when we see ourselves as participants and not spectators. We can improve the appreciation level in the body of believers by taking note of the contributions that others make as we read on here in this passage. When was the last time that we stopped and thanked our nursery workers and those who serve at various functions? These are two areas where those with the gift of helps and service minister. Do we stop and thank those positions? Or do we only say, well, let's just praise the pastor of the church, good message, or whatever? Or do we stop and thank the nursery worker and those who have served at various functions? Many of the gifts that people minister with are not in the public eye, but are vital to the ministry of Ozer Mission Chapel. By God placing us in the body with gifts according to his measure, we have a glimpse into the heart of God for his church. And God's heart is for his church because he has uniquely equipped you and me with gifts that we might be able to minister to one another for the collective whole of this church. And God is about and has his eye on the church. He has set the church up for success through his grace gifts to us. Paul acknowledged that there are members of the body which we deem as weak and not as honorable. To these members we bestow more abundant honor so that there will not be division in the body. To these members God has given more abundant honor as well. And maybe he's dressed them up accordingly, that their gifts, that they might see the importance of their gifts. The importance of that member who has been given the gift of helps is awfully important to this ministry and other of the gifts as well. Verse 24 expresses the truth that God is the one who composed the body. The idea of the word is that of a craftsman, structuring the church intentionally and carefully and mixing the gifts and personalities of the believers like a metallurgist, mixing metal to give strength to the final product. So when it comes to different metals in building, they put different metals together and different components together to make different strengths of metal. And when it came to Ozer Mission Chapel, he has uniquely equipped us with some people and that he's carefully mixed us together that this ministry might be what it is and might move forward because God is about composing the body. He has crafted the gifts so that those who lack will have greater honor so that there will not be division. His desire is that his body, the church, will operate cohesively and that we will care for one another. The opposite of division compared for us in verse 25 is that we will care for each other. If one member suffers, we will all suffer with it. And if one member is honored, we will all be able to rejoice with him or her. Yes, there is public gifts and the importance of having those who have the gift of teaching in our Connect ministry. The importance of having those who are involved in the VBS and the importance of that. But what about the ministry of caring for one another? Some people are very effective at it. They have a spirit of compassion. They have a spirit of understanding that goes far beyond others. The importance of caring for one another is a big role as well. One way we show caring is by listening. When was the last time we shut our mouths and we said, I'm going to listen so that I might understand when somebody starts sharing with us? You know, my tendency has often been is I like to offer solutions to different problems. And I got told very quickly by many different demonstrations that she wasn't looking for a solution. She was looking for somebody to listen. And I had some things thrown at me to help emphasize that point as well. Have I caught it on fully? No, I haven't fully caught it on. Hopefully I'm a little bit better today than I was back then. But learning how to listen is not my strongest suit either, but I'm learning as well. Paul in verse 27 makes an emphatic statement. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. He makes an emphatic statement of that fact. This being true, we need to ask ourselves the questions, where do I fit as a member within this body? And am I willing to use the measure of grace that has been given to me in the power of the Spirit for the glory of God? If that is true about you here this morning, then you need to be asking that question of yourselves. Where does God want me involved in this ministry? How can I get involved? We are individually members of one another, and you have been uniquely equipped by God with a measure of grace in the form of a gift that is vitally needed to fulfill all that God wants to do through this local church, Ozer Mission Chapel. God desired to place you here with your gift to fill out the ministry that he desires for us collectively to do. You're not here by accident. Surveys have shown that the reality is 20% of the body doing 80% of the work. We have people doing ministry that they are not necessarily gifted for, and we are facing burnout because they are carrying far more than God desires of them. And maybe all that God desires to do is not possible because they are not operating in the gifting that God has given to them. How much more could be done if we have people gifted by God in ministries that are uniquely needed in that ministry, that God can do all that he desires to do. God may still bless, but not his desired will that we carry on in areas outside of our gifting. If you are a spirit-indwelt believer here this morning, you're needed in his body, the church. Will you ask the Lord where he wants you to serve and reach out to the leadership of this body with your desire? We want to help you get involved. My encouragement this morning is that we need each one of you. I need each one of you in my life. We need each one in this ministry here if we're going to seek to carry this gospel into this community and outside of these doors into the community. And so as you look around at the needs that are presented, and each week we present different needs, would you ask the Lord if your own gifting could be used in that ministry? And if you don't know what your gifting is, speak to us. We'd encourage you to get involved, that you might find out what your gift is and then utilize it the most effective that it can be. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer this morning. My dear Father, thank you for your word and thank you for your gifting to us. As we look around us at Ozer Mission Chapel, thank you for each person that you've sent our way. And we just pray that each of us might find that place that you have and gifted us for, and that we might be able to move forward victoriously in Christ as we operate in your grace gifts to us. And so thank you for this opportunity we have, and may you just lay upon our hearts areas that we can be effective in, and maybe some areas that we should resign from because we're not equipped for. So pray that you might lead us in your wisdom and in your grace. We pray in your name. Amen. God bless. I look forward to hearing from you.